Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com. Full Service Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Shift Drink on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm Matthew Ramsey, Wile E. Coyote, Cheeseburger Life Coach, and Cold Beer Crusader.
I'm Eddie Kim, proud D.C., a sneaky barman, and dehydrated drink maker. Every week, we share a shift drink and swap war stories from behind the line with chefs, bartenders, bakers, and brewers, and anyone who touches this all-encompassing industry. This week, we go full circle, back to the beginning.
Back, all the way back.
To the OG guest, when we were very unprepared, still am.
Yeah, I don't think our preparedness has changed.
We still don't do our homework. Welcome back, Adam Birnbach.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate being here.
So we've lined up nothing but cat questions for you today. Most of them public figures that you probably... Nah.
Yes. we'll readdress the question of which cat you would like to fornicate with, which apparently...
That was...
Yeah.
And I've thought further about it.
There's no such thing as bad radio, guys.
Only dead silence. Well, I guess before we dig in, talk a little bit about the news. What's going on in our neighborhood, neighborhood?
A week in recap, if you will.
It's my neighborhood specifically?
Yeah.
I would love to hear that. What's going on in Mount Pleasant?
What's going on in the corner, yeah. Who left their trash out?
Oh, man. Next door, right? Next door is hot this week.
Okay, but pick something. What's going on next door in Mount Pleasant?
Visitor parking passes, guys. That's controversial. That's controversial opinions.
I will say I recently joined my next door in Southeast, and it is just a tirade of just everything. People are just angry all the time on that thing. It's crazy.
A lot of useful information as well, though.
I'll say that I did recently get a chimney sweep off of that.
Oh my god, we just got a surprise guest.
Appearance.
That's Dante. Dante Dada.
Dante is wearing a beautiful duffel coat. I want to point that out.
Dante's opening up this new bar, Daru. Aren't you supposed to be knee deep in like gravel right now?
Yeah, I was just like a
few minutes ago. Liar, you don't look like it.
Yeah, you look pretty fresh.
It's debonair. Debonair as always. That's the beauty of the line. People are just constantly walking by here. So stuff in the news.
Well, why don't I start off? I just signed up for a new newsletter because newsletters are hot these days. This morning, Samin Nosrat of Acid Fat, he's definitely in the wrong order.
Some salt.
Just started a new newsletter called A Grain of Salt. So look it up. I'm not sure what's on it. I can imagine it's going to be a lot of really simple cooking recipes, and it's her take on a lot of food.
I also just signed up for that. Mm-hmm. Shift Drink alum Clementine Thomas is opening up a cookbook pop-up just in time for the holidays. Sounds like this has been a work in progress for a while, so excited to hear it's coming out.
Yeah, I feel like they haven't been silent about, you know, going to other cities.
Bold Fork Books, it's
Clem,
called.
Yeah, Clem and her partner Sam, you know, whenever they go to a city, they look for cookbooks. Hmm. And in LA, there's a whole cookbook, there's a bookstore dedicated to cookbooks. I think there's one in Montreal, too. So I think DC's ready for one.
Yeah,
DC needs this. There's a great one in Biddeford, Maine.
Really?
Biddeford, Maine has probably the most exceptional cookbook store I've ever been to. Unbelievable. Rare, antique, you name it.
What brought you up to Biddeford, Maine?
It's 20 minutes south of Portland, and there's an exceptional restaurant there, Palace Diner.
Okay.
Maybe my favorite restaurant.
Wow.
It's a classic Maine trade car diner, but the people who took it over, they just make the most exceptional diner food.
Huh.
Unbelievable.
Okay.
Unbelievable.
So I guess people just care more about food up in Maine.
I mean, Maine has an amazing culinary scene going on. more than just your obvious lobster and stuff, but I was blown away when we were in Portland last year.
Well, it's good to see that we can finally have some bookstores around here. I imagine it's going to, if it were built out, it would have maybe a demonstration space, a place where people can come in. Just basically, you know.
Yeah. Well, check it out on Instagram. They are called Bold Fork Books, and they're new, and they'll be around for the holidays, so definitely check it out.
I'm going to follow them right now.
Right now, Matthew and I had a sweet tooth 5 minutes ago, so you ran out and got us some Starbucks coffees. But the world's largest Starbucks just opened up in Chicago. 5 stories, 35,000 square feet.
35,000 feet.
It's a Starbucks Reserve.
I mean, I would usually have a hard time conceptualizing how big that is just because it's an arbitrary number. But having been looking at spaces for my own restaurant and knowing kind of what I've been looking for, which is maybe 1% of that space-wise, like that's an airport hangar. Like they can fit an immense amount of beans in there.
That's what they're going to do. It's just a bean silo.
It's just a giant bean silo.
It's a contest to see how many beans can fit in the building.
winner takes all.
Winner wins a sticker.
But yeah, theoretically, they would never need to open up another Starbucks ever again, just based on the sheer size of this one. Drake has had an unfortunate couple of weeks.
Yeah, he got booed off a stage in L.A.,
music festival, which seems to be like kind of a misunderstanding. Apparently, everybody thought Frank Ocean was coming out, and then Drake
It was a surprise guest, and everyone was hoping it would be Frank Ocean because of the kind of age demographic of the audience, which was very young. Wow. Apparently, Drake is for old people now.
No, there was some sort of hint that was involved in that, too.
Was there?
Yeah. That's my understanding. Is everybody got that understanding from some sort of social media hinting? I don't know.
And then when Drake came out, apparently... I don't know. We're going deep into this, but apparently all the guests that have been coming on stage had only been doing 2 songs. But so like no one really understand that Drake was doing a full set, and that was like a part of it. But Drake is also closing his restaurant in Toronto, so not only getting booed, but also having to shutter his food space
after a year and a half. He just stopped paying rent.
Happens to the best.
That's what restaurants just do.
Bummer.
Yeah. And I guess lastly, a little bit of news out of New York. Jim Meehan is no longer a part of PDT. Adam, you're shaking your head.
Have
you heard hints about this going
on? No, I was just I thought for some reason I'd read something that it seemed like he was years ago. He was, I guess, he stepped away in some regard years ago. I was confused when I read that.
At least the one source that I read was that he is no longer, he's being forced out as a partner, as a part of a general restructuring of the bar in March, and that Jeffrey Bell, who's been a long time lead bartender and general manager, is in the process of buying the place, which is great. I'm glad to see someone who's putting like 9 years into the place finally given the chance to take ownership of it. Which
still sucks for Jermaine. I don't know what's happening, but I don't have any.
Any insider?
Yeah.
The story is up on the New York Times, so take a look. What are we drinking?
Eddie, you tell us. We have a couple of wonderful sherries in front of us.
I dug deep into the fridge and pulled out the first 2 sherries that I could pull out. Let's see. The first one that we're drinking is the La Sagrera Manzanilla Passada.
That's a nice sherry we have in your fridge.
I know. It's just one that's happened to be
hanging out.
It was half a bottle, so you know, otherwise it would have just died there.
It does pair nicely with this praline, this chestnut praline
mocha peppermint.
Yeah, that's a classic pairing.
Starbucks.
Starbucks Solera.
They've been doing that since time immemorial down there in South Spain.
Yeah. These chestnuts age on the floor.
And then after this, we'll be drinking the La Garrocha Oloroso, something a little bit fuller body. Actually, the Oloroso might legitimately pair up well with the lattes.
Can we maybe do a little bit of a deeper dive into the differences sherry-wise? Because these are different classifications. Adam, I feel like you're probably... Oh,
yeah. A lot of our previous guests love sherry. Yeah. Chantal, Carly Steiner, Adam Birnbach, but...
Would you say we're a sherry-forward town? Do people think of sherry in D.C.?
Definitely within the industry, there's a lot of people who...
Right, because I feel like there's a lot of heavy sherry heads in DC.
Yeah.
I think it's personality driven that you and Chantal and a number of people have led the charge for sherry. I also kind of think it's kind of the nature of DC, where we like being a little bit more wonky about certain things. And when it comes to food and drink, sherry kind of encompasses all that.
I mean, it would be DC and some of the personalities involved, particularly obviously Chantal Tseng, mm-hmm. who's about as sherry fanatic as you can get. I mean, just truly an exceptional level of love there. Obviously, we had Rockingbird Hill for a number of years. A lot of cities don't have a sherry bar. Although I think in the food and dining community in general, over the past 10 years, has really embraced
sherry.
It's so throughout the United States and Europe.
So food friendly that it just makes so much sense. Eddie's pouring some more for us. This is the Oloroso?
Yes, this is the Oloroso.
So the main... To answer your question, Matthew, the main question between, or the difference between these two particular ones is Manzanilla is aged under what's known as floor, which is a kind of a yeast that grows on top. So it doesn't receive any sort of exposure to oxygen.
Right.
Whereas the Oloroso is completely without any sort of floor covering. So it definitely
gets darker, it's more oxidative,
and more nutty tones.
Yeah.
Whereas the Manzanilla is a little bit more floral. This is an unusual Manzanilla in that it's a Manzanilla Posada, so it's been aged a significant period of time underneath that floor.
And Posada basically denotes an aging.
It would just be heavily aged.
Gotcha.
The designation itself, I can't tell you off the top of my head. I don't really. I think it's maybe 9-10 years. I'm not really sure.
Are there any
maybe
bottles?
Longer.
Are there any bottles that you'll be taking out for
Thanksgiving?
My family doesn't really drink, to be honest with you. So anything that I take out for Thanksgiving, I'm going to be drinking. Or Camille is going to be drinking. Camille actually does not drink sherry,
right.
So probably not. It's a short answer.
This is your own solo adventure in the corner.
Yeah.
Long answer, probably not. Short answer, no.
Well, actually, I wanted to bring up. Helen Rosner wrote an article that was just published a few hours ago about what she considers to be the perfect Thanksgiving cocktail. Hers is the Boulevard.
Only Jesus Christ is the perfect Thanksgiving cocktail. Everything else, you just can hope for excellence.
Just one part water.
One part magic.
Two parts. I apologize for that blasphemy, by the way. That was unacceptable.
You're only complimenting Jesus.
Is a shaker involved when he transforms the water into wine? Does he shake? I don't know.
Jesus is an egg white cocktail. It's a little bit of extra time.
He gives a fuck about the Ramos. Let's just.
Helen said, but the Boulevardier, easy to make. It's bourbon, so it's more weather appropriate. It's racing. It can be biting, so it can cut through a lot of that heavy food. Yeah. Do you agree, Adam?
I don't know. I don't know that there is a perfect Thanksgiving cocktail. It definitely checks off a lot of boxes in that respect. It's bitter, gets gets you salivating. It's a good. It's a biggish pre-dinner kind of cocktail because of the Campari.
It's easy to make.
Yeah,
very very easy to make.
I would definitely do something a little bit lower in ABV.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah.
You got to be enjoying these things throughout the day. Previously, last week, we were talking about Eddie is coming over for Thanksgiving this year. And we were talking about White Castle stuffing.
Okay.
But I've since decided I'm going to step away from this all-time American classic, and I'm using Meats and Foods half-smoked sausage. Which I think is going to be...
As a stuffing,
yeah.
Without any sort of...
I mean, it'll be... No. It'll be
as part of the recipe,
but that'll be
When you mentioned Meats and Foods, I thought you were taking like a Cholito and stuffing it in a turkey or something like that.
Whoa.
I mean, that's...
That would be...
That's also an idea. It wasn't...
Yeah, I would definitely come to that party.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
We'll be drinking sherry. Yeah, that's an idea.
But what are you doing with the sausage?
I mean, just using that to make the actual stuffing itself.
Okay.
It's usually your aromatics, bread, stock, egg. And, I mean, it's a savory pudding, right? So I'll be using the half smoked sauce, which I think is going to have like the perfect smoke, heat, all the things.
We haven't discussed much about the other side trimmings that we're going to be
Adam, what, bringing. Adam, what Thanksgiving Day side are you most grateful for?
Yeah, I'd... That's a really great question. My wife's family's their stuffing slash dressing is pretty exceptional. I'm pretty psyched for that. My wife makes also a really, really, really amazing kind of sweet potato cranberry rosemary side out of the Southern Living.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Southern Living is clutch, especially around the holidays. I grew up on all those recipes.
it's definitely a Bible.
But what makes the stuffing so so special? A bunch of things.
Love?
Yeah.
You got me. MSG. TLC. Cocaine. TLC. I don't know. It's delicious.
Ah, cocaine. Yeah, that's the missing element.
Oh, that would actually be quite bitter.
Yeah.
I take that back. There's no cocaine in stuffing.
But this is Camille's family in Arkansas.
Yeah.
Right. So.
Yeah. The Ozark Mountains.
The Ozark. How is that, like, that difference in cooking? Like, have you been able to embrace it? Compared to what?
There's a lot less matzah, I would say. That's a pretty pretty noticeable difference off the top of the head.
Matzah tastes different down there. I've noticed that.
They don't utilize the matzah.
It's probably the water. It's the water. It's the Ozark water.
What else? Well, a lot more bacon. Bacon grease than the cooking that I grew up with.
You ask anybody that's ever spent any time in Louisiana, and stuffing means oysters this time of year.
Oh yeah,
which I don't know if it's way that far north to
is that a segue? Are you making a, is that a segue?
No, I'm just saying I have a lot of Louisiana friends, and they all put oysters in there.
Can I promote something real quick?
Yeah.
Speaking of oysters and Thanksgiving.
Oh, I see where you go with this. Yes, yeah, so yeah, that was my plan.
Stunning altitude drop.
Alexia, can we have a ding?
Ding.
Okay.
That transition was like the stomach drop you get on like the drop of a roller coaster. That's how awkward that was. We're doing an oyster Thanksgiving post Thanksgiving pop up at Estadio. Friday lunch. Yeah.
Are we talking turkey sandwiches? On turkey sandwiches? Oyster sandwiches.
No, there'll be oysters involved. But it's going to be good, like an oyster roast.
Ooh.
And then I'm going to do a little bit of a Bloody Mary.
Ah.
With a twist.
Oyster roast, is this a little bit of Charleston that's coming up north with you?
No, I think it's straight from Rob Rubas, the chef of Oyster, his worldview, his palate. But, yeah, information is available on our social media.
Awesome. Is this a ticketed event? Or is it just kind of come as you will?
Jesus, I don't actually have that information off the top of my head.
Just know that there's going to be a twist with the Bloody Mary.
Let's all go to Oyster DC on Instagram together. And then I can have that information for you. Can you give some music?
I hope everyone's listening to this as they make their Thanksgiving dinner this week, and everyone cringes along with us.
There's a link in the bio to make reservations.
Thanksgiving night, though, tends to be a big bar night.
The night afterwards, yes.
The night after dinner?
People are, well,
the day after, so it's Friday night. It's a Friday night.
Okay.
Friday night, the day after Thanksgiving. It's a huge night. All bar people kind of brace themselves. They gird their loins.
The Wednesday before, actually, I find to be the most
interesting.
The most swift kicked in the tuckus.
Okay.
Yeah.
So people are neglecting their mise en place to go out and get wasted, and then
I know it's a time for all the high school reunions happen.
Yeah.
I know. Growing up in this area, my high school reunion takes place in Ballston, Arlington. The old British bar that used to be there, I can't remember the name, but it's no longer there, so I don't know what we're going to do next year for my 20th reunion.
Adam, have you been to any of your reunions? Your 5, your 10, your 40?
I have not, no.
No, I haven't either.
I socialized with most of the high school people that I was friends with.
Yeah. We talked about this the other day, the kind of some of the local high school folks that have eked their way into the restaurant world. So we've just kind of stuck to them. So at least for me, it's Danny Lee of Mandu and Anju.
Yeah.
Brian Miller from Edit Labs.
Yeah.
And Jake Parrott, which Jake I just Parrott. Learned.
Yeah.
Went to my high school.
Distinguished alumnus.
Yes.
I got Lizzie Evelyn. Was distinguished.
Paisley
did I say
fake.
Extinguished? Excuse me. Distinguished. Lizzie Evelyn, very much alive and doing great
She's
work.
A baker, but not on fire.
R.I.P.
Peter Bain.
Peter Bain, of course. Partner in a number of wonderful bars throughout the city. Mm-hmm. Who else in the industry? We have a lot of rockers from my school. The two-thirds of X-Hex.
One what, really?
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm.
Who else?
We're going to think about this a little bit more and take a quick step out. This is Adam Barenbach, part two. Part one was literally our very first show. I'm Matthew Ramsey.
I'm Eddie Kim.
And you're listening to Shift Drink. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You are listening to Shift Drink on Full Service Radio. We have Adam Barenbach in the studio, part two.
That's a little interesting accent that you threw in there for Adam's Barenbach. Name.
Barenbach. He's back in the, yeah. We were kind of just talking off air. So Oyster, obviously a project coming out soonish. You have the Thanksgiving Day after... show going on at Stadio, which apparently
it's the after party for your Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah,
but just the next day.
Yeah,
that's a great way to think about it.
Reservations are
there.
Are,
so there's a link on the Instagram profile.
Okay, awesome.
To make reservations.
And then you're also doing a little collaboration here with Eddie Kim too. A lazy omakase oyster event.
Yeah, I'm psyched about that. That's going to be December 5th at Sun Cinema. Same place it's always been.
Still coming up with some ideas. We always kind of aim to put a theme to the event, and that might be a little bit up in the air, but I think it'll be more of a celebratory event.
I was actually thinking the debut album for Megadeth this time.
Wow.
That's going to be the theme.
You heard it here first.
News to me.
Eddie, you know that album pretty well, right?
No, I don't. I'm more interested in the newest Mandy Moore album that just came out.
So Eddie has been texting all week about this.
I haven't been texting anyone. I've been posting about it, but
no, you literally texted me about it.
Yeah. You texted me about it too. And here's the thing: when it came out, you texted me. When you couldn't get tickets, you texted me, and then when you were debating about how much you should spend on tickets,
I wanted to know if anyone wanted to join me. Crickets. So obviously nobody has my back, and I'll be going to this.
What was your price cap on tickets for this event?
I paid $70.
$70,
and all fees all in.
That's general admission.
Seated. It's at the Warner Theater. Beautiful theater. It's probably my favorite in DC. It's intimate, so there really isn't a bad seat in the house. But I was not willing to pay $250 for front row.
Oof.
I love you, Mandy.
Do you?
I don't even think you know Mandy anymore. Do you? But
we had a moment.
I'm excited that Mandy Moore is going to be the theme of the new omakase, lazy omakase.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of the dueling themes.
Okay. All my drinks will be made out of candy.
All of my drinks will have skulls in it? I don't even know. Yeah, I actually can't remember what the first Megadeth album is. That was the first thing that came to my head.
Death and Candy. It's also going to be at, Kim Bryden's birthday.
So Kim Bryden, fellow.
There'll be some celebratory vibes.
Yeah.
Kim Bryden of Curate and The Tidbit. And Adam, I hear it's your mother-in-law's birthday as well.
Sure is. She sadly won't be attending.
A little shout out to her.
Yeah, actually, both my wife and my mother-in-law will be in New York on December 5th. Gonna be traveling. I think it's my mother-in-law's first time in the city.
Adam, what do you do when, you know, for lack of a better term, you're left alone in the house as you are this weekend?
Okay,
batching it up.
Yes. Yeah. Smoke a lot of pot and draw a lot. Do clean around the house.
Mm-hmm. What happens to your drawings, or like what happens to your art at this point? Because I feel like a lot of your creative focus previously got channeled into menus and stuff like that. Do you have a stack of?
Yeah, it's now menus and flyers.
Okay.
Mostly it's actually flyers for things like Lazy, and then whenever I do kind of other stuff at Estadio,
Gindustry Nights,
do kind of Instagram flyers for that stuff.
Gindustry Nights, that's been a really fun reoccurring thing. What's coming?
Hey, we got to get you to do one actually.
Oh, I'd love that.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. We're discussing kind of breaking out of the mold of just bartenders and doing gin and tonics, but now,
yeah, we could do,
seeing how creative
the chefs
we can get
involved.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be awesome. I don't know if you've tried my Flaming Hot Cheeto infused tequila, but it's
big. I haven't. Is it?
It's horrible, but it's kind of good too.
I don't know. I bought into it.
If you like the taste of drinking Flaming Hot Cheetos, you're gonna love it. But no, that's awesome. But is this like bi-monthly, bi-weekly, every week?
The Gindustry?
Yeah,
Gindustry. It's on Monday nights after. It's from 9 to 11. It's not. There's no regular schedule. It tends to work out to be once or twice a month. When we do Junio Tonico, which is our big kind of gin tonic festival in the summer every June, every week, every Monday has a Gindustry involvement in it. But yeah, we've had a lot of... Eddie's been there.
Monica's done one.
Chantal Sang did a sherry one recently.
Sick.
Who else has been there? Allison Hillard, the maker of that great anisette that I had the other night, has done one. Dante did one.
Ah, sick.
Yeah.
And it just kind of happens. Is there like looking forward? Is there somebody we should be, other than myself, getting excited about?
There's none booked at the moment.
Okay.
So if you're listening and you want to do one,
all right,
reach out.
Sick. Do you find yourself doing, you talk about doing art for these like flyers and stuff. I almost feel like it could go either way. Like you plan an event and then you do the art, or you just start doing the art. Like, this could be a fun event.
Oh, that's really interesting. I haven't thought about it. No, it's always more or less anything that I do creative is done to kind of fit a spot.
Sure.
So whether or not it's drawing a flyer or making a drink or blah, you know what?
Yeah.
It's all done to kind of fill in what my idea would be for that spot.
Oyster, we were just talking, it's close. It's coming
very close.
Very soon-ish.
Yeah, yeah.
Eddie and I were just kind of talking about, as far as opening a restaurant in December, does that change anything? Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Is this time of year hard to open a restaurant in? I know it's like you never quite know when a restaurant's going to open for multiple reasons.
As far as the differences, I mean, we're definitely not using tomatoes. It's going to change the cuisine, but it's also going to change. I think as you know, when you go into a restaurant in the winter and you walk in and how you interact with the restaurant, it does adjust affects how you experience that restaurant then. Sure. In the summer. But beyond that, no, I mean, I don't really 100% know if there is a major change.
Now, Oyster, it's officially announced that it's going to be a prefix menu,
mm-hmm.
a set menu. Is that, not that it's a response to the fact that you're opening up in winter, but is this a way of more control? Do you see it as a way of more control over the dining experience? So there's to eliminate as much variability as you can? Or is there another reason for that?
I think I think in the case of Oyster, it has more to do with just being able to control how much, especially with a restaurant that's so concerned with waste and what we're doing with waste. I think it definitely, we have greater control over how we utilize that waste and all the variables that come with it and minimizing it in that kind of format.
I think that makes a lot of sense. That's like, especially given the waste factor. I just remember at P&P because we always knew, sorry, Pineapple and Pearls. We always knew how many guests would be coming in because it is a set menu. Then we knew exactly how many pieces of chervil pluches to pluck, and all the everything was just, there was no guesswork. You knew exactly,
and then what you need to prepare, and then when you need to order to prepare.
Yeah.
So in case anybody out there doesn't know, Oyster is like a permaculture sustainability focused restaurant. It's primarily plant based, but we're also utilizing oyster. The name references oysters, mushrooms, and then oysters, the seafood. But oysters are very, very healthy for water, including nitrogen out of the water.
Creatively, since, you know, it's still up in the air when any restaurant opens, do you feel like creatively that you need to keep adjusting the menu? Do you keep fiddling with it? Mm-hmm. Like it's a scab? What was the first thing that come to mind?
Don't ever equate scabs.
I do that anyway. That's, I think all of us who do stuff like this, it's just natural that you just keep, you work constantly on things in that kind of, in an amorphous like state, and just you just keep whittling them down, and then they're done when they have to be done. They're not done. It's very rare that I've ever been in a place where I can be like, this is something that like, this is how exactly how I want it, and now I can release it, you know, and that kind of thing. It's more like, oh, fuck, I need something by tomorrow.
Right. I feel like with anything, cooking, and any creative, like happy accents are part of the process.
That's
right?
Totally part of the process. I jokingly say, oh, fuck, but like, I mean, the reality is that there is, because I'm constantly working on stuff, because there's a lot of things in a more cloud-like amorphous state, it's easier for me to pull those into something and kind of use them to translate whatever spot I need to.
Right. I mean, I was working an event recently, and I'm looking at my past notes for recipes and stuff, and it's like 2 tablespoons of like white vinegar. I'm like, fuck, I don't have white vinegar, but I do have this awesome sorghum vinegar from Keep Well, and it's like whatever you have, whatever you can do, and sometimes it just works out way better. It's really cool. So I feel like, because like Revelers Hour is opening up this month, and it's just, I know ideally when I'm like for cold beer, I'm like, oh man, summer would be amazing, just because that's when all the produce is, and that's kind of how I want to come out of the gates. But I know Rob is a pro, and he's probably got everything lined up food wise.
Yeah, I mean he's exceptional. He's amongst the most. I mean, I've been very, very lucky to work with a lot of great people in this industry. And Rob is definitely somebody who, working with him, definitely it is enriching, and it's something that I treasure.
How did you two initially sync up?
Actually through Max. Okay. So Max Keller, who's the owner of Oyster, as well as Estadio in Charleston. I've worked with Max and been friends with him for, I don't know how long, over a decade, but we started, he talked to me about Oyster, and away we went.
Now, as far as like the sustainability, how's that going to affect the drink program and that kind of ethos?
I'm not going to do one, actually. So it's
perfect.
It's just going to be empty glasses. You're going to imagine that it's
dehydrated water, where you just add water.
No, so the focus for me is one. Obviously, there's the part where it's got to fit into the spaces that it's in. So, if I'm thinking that people the way I sort of approach it is anything like this is, how do I, if I walked into this space, if I sat down at this kind of restaurant or that kind of restaurant or what have you, and what would I want? How would I like, what would I want to look at on a menu? What would I, if I got this dish, what would I want? Mm-hmm. There's going to be sort of a very limited on the menu cocktail, because it's primarily a prefix menu.
Right.
And then there'll be a few cocktails, or, I mean, for lack of a better term, cocktails, but low ABV, sort of more aromatized wine kind of options that I'll be making for, be kind of littered throughout the meal.
Awesome.
But primarily on the front side.
I mean, during the production of the drinks, since you are doing prefix, that gives you a little bit more control. Are you going to incorporate like some of these other techniques that other bars like Dandelion in London have started to, you know, kind of make almost required for a lot of bars that want to call themselves sustainable?
Is they, you know, like Dandelion, are they doing a zero waste?
Well, they no longer exist, and but they are opening up in DC.
That's real fucking sustainable, actually.
Mysterious. They're opening up in DC soon, but they kind of heralded, you know, no ice, okay, just refrigeration, no citrus because it's not local and it's very destructive. You know, the use of acidulants. What else do they do?
So to answer your question, yes and no. I mean, there's aspects of what you know what they've done, and obviously they're an exceptional bar, and they've done a lot of pioneering in that field. There's stuff that they've done that I'm like, oh yeah, that I could totally utilize. And then there's stuff that I'm going to do that maybe I didn't see mentioned in anything I've read about. But the minimizing waste or actually eliminating it and utilizing any sort of trimmings or the light from the kitchen and that sort of thing is the parameters that are set. That's it. And how I can work within those parameters and then also work on the parameters of what I imagine the expectations are for guests and what I think would make their experience enriching is those are the two rules, and anything that I do within that, I think is just speaks to those parameters.
Speaking of the guest experience, like, will there be any part of education that goes along with what you're doing at Oyster Oyster? Like, at what where's the line where you just kind of stop preaching, or you want to impart some kind of information to the guest on you know, this ingredient comes from this place, this ingredient comes from mm-hmm. this place, or do you just want to kind of leave that up in the air and just let people appreciate what's on the plate?
Well, I mean, I think a certain amount of that is going to be not required. That's not the word I'm looking for. But there's a certain amount of that is part of the guest experience for, you know, when you walk into, if you've never eaten a type of cuisine before and you're coming to it, you know, straight... Mm-hmm. Straight from another place. I mean, a certain amount of translating that cuisine or a certain amount of giving it history is important. How you do that, where you do that, when you do that, all those things are the big bold-faced questions that we all need to ask ourselves. And I don't know that I have a set answer for you for how we're going to do it, when we're going to do it. I don't, when you say preach, I don't want us to be, you know, preachy or didactic right. in any way.
I've been evangelical, but I mean, but what you guys are doing, I think is important. And I think we're starting to see a lot more of it, thankfully.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we do is, I mean, there's a lot of waste involved. It's just a
significant amount. Yeah, absolutely.
From the water we use to just the food stuff. And yeah, I'm excited for things to be moving in that direction. And can't wait to see kind of what comes out of this, like as far as like new techniques, and I think there's a lot that could be utilized and harnessed.
I know, Matthew, your restaurant isn't necessarily 100%, you know, that's not the main focal point, but are there any one or two techniques or one or two things that you'll be incorporating into your cooking?
I mean,
if you're to choose like one or two things.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be kind of grabbing fermentation a lot more mm-hmm. by the horns and kind of utilizing some of that stuff. I tend to be very umami driven, but I would like to, I was even thinking about it last night. It was just like, take months where we don't do meat for a month, and actually just restaurant wide, we just kind of go deep into vegetables and produce and kind of start curating those and treating, I don't know. I think we have a responsibility, for these things.
Yeah.
We had our previous guests, Abby Fuller and Matt from
ABD Farm.
Yeah, another perfect day. And I don't know if you know these guys, Adam. They're just amazing people. But Matt is, they're growing and raising cows in a way that essentially negates the carbon footprint. And they're doing it using ancient grazing methods, but it's not only some of the best beef I've ever had. It's just completely sustainably raised, and like, I don't know. It's really encouraging to see small producers starting to do that kind of stuff. But yeah, I've still got a lot of planning to do on that.
I mean, on my end, I guess something that I've latched onto is, and it's not new. These days people call it trash tiki, but just closing the loop and trying to utilize every single part of whatever is available, especially in cocktails. And even if it is citrus, which itself isn't local, but trying to use as much of the citrus part of the citrus as possible.
There's a great citrus farm in New Jersey, actually.
Yeah, and they're starting to pop up on the, especially on the East Coast. Now we can
how you utilize things like that. I think is, I don't think there. I mean, there's no laws or rules or, I mean, it's all just sort of a process. You have a goal, and as a person, a professional, you have a goal as a group. You have a goal as a community, and it's sort of as if we're all kind of pushing in one direction. I think that's what's most important.
Yeah,
I mean, there's got to be a gut feeling into it. I just feel bad if I'm juicing and I throw away all of these rinds and peels, which are totally viable, and a part of it has to you just have to feel bad if you're crushing through prep and you're totally ignoring all of your waste, then you're missing half the point of being in the restaurant, the food and beverage industry.
Well, I just know from like previous experience, I mean, like the finer the knife cut, usually the more waste there is product wise, and that's not always being utilized. So like if you're getting precision cuts, you're probably kind of getting rid of a lot of stuff that it doesn't make the cut.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay. Is that something that, well, you say finer than knife cut?
So like if you look at like a fine dice and you're like looking at like actual thoughtful cuts, like there's a lot that didn't make it. And so that just usually gets wasted or put into a stock. But
is that like a direct point towards maybe higher end restaurants, which,
you know, I mean, I think there's ways around it. I just think mentality wise, it's just been that's just part of the process.
But you mentioned stocks. For me, it's important that, you know, we have, particularly at Estadio, where we have a lot of sodas and the slushitos and ways to, you know, after you're done with juicing and those rinds are viable, we can make them into, in Charleston, we make a citrus syrup with whatever citrus rind that we have available, and then we put it into a Cali Mocho slushito.
Right on.
Up here, we have a citrus soda.
Mm-hmm. I think over at Dos Mamis, Carly Steiner has one of their non-alcoholic beverages. Is basically, what she calls it, like garden water or something like that, which is basically all the leftover spent peels and herbs and thrown into water and just let it infuse.
Yeah,
and that's great. Very healthy and refreshing.
And I will say at Corncella too, that was kind of an eye-opener for me because like literally every piece of corn or corn cob I bought, like every part of it got utilized from the husk to the kernel to the cob. It's just, and it, I don't know. I like that shit.
What about the little bugs that we would find every now and then?
Protein, man.
But I mean, there's both the kind of, I don't know, the moral, you know, push for that. But also, I mean, there's very good financial reasons for doing this.
Yeah.
I mean, there's
absolutely
just utilizing anything that you pay money for.
Yeah.
I mean, is that's, you know, financially sustainable.
Yeah. Squeezing milk from the stone. Awesome. Well, we're kind of getting to that point where I think we should go to our first game. We haven't done any games today. A little thing we call rapid fire.
All right, shoot. Time for the payback. All right.
Rapid fire.
I think, I mean, just to kind of bring it back to the new bookstore. this is a question I often like to ask. And I know you like cooking, but are there any cookbooks, drink books that you have in your collection that you just hold in the highest regard?
I don't know that I like cooking.
You don't? I'm putting words in your mouth.
I enjoy it occasionally. Okay. I don't know. I like anything. I like the Ottolenghi series quite a bit.
Yeah.
Those are pretty fantastic. Cocktail books. Like the Morgenthaler Bar book. That's pretty rad.
I
That one's more technique driven. How about one that's more, I don't know, just fun reading in general? History, pictures.
What's your favorite coloring cookbook?
I think the old Charles Baker series. Those are fun to read. I mean, Robert Simonson is obviously a very fun writer to read in terms of drink writing. His book is, you know, Proper Drink is a great history of the modern cocktail movement. Hopefully Carrie puts out a book sometime. I love her writing.
If you were a 70s or 80s television show, which one would you be? Or 90s. We'll throw that in the mix.
I guess Seinfeld, if we're going to use the 90s. 70s or 80s television
What's
show.
What's the deal?
Yeah. Is that what I sound like?
No, that's what I... That was a horrible... That was my Seinfeld, but it was horrible.
So. Triggering.
Alexia will edit that out.
I guess... I don't know.
Wink.
Yeah, I guess Seinfeld would be... Okay. Simpsons? Yeah, Simpsons would be a good one.
Ah, okay.
You know, early 90s Simpsons.
Is this why you signed up for Disney Plus? Oh, have you?
No.
No, Matthew did. Matthew signed up for Disney Plus.
I haven't told anybody yet except for you two, so.
Well, it's out there.
Elizabeth, we have a lot to look forward to.
All 30 seasons of The Simpsons.
Do you guys remember that show, Great American Hero?
Yeah.
I feel like I was just thinking about what I would do. I think that would be me. It's like this guy that has a lot of confidence, but he just bumbles everything.
Well, that ties into Seinfeld because that there's an answering machine message that he has that has the you remember the novelty answering machine tapes? He had the song and it was a fight like I'm not at home. There was an answering so George on Seinfeld has an answering machine message that's a Great American Hero theme song.
Oh no way!
But that's like believe it or not, yeah. George isn't at home. Oh. And that's a parody of the Great American Hero theme song. For people tuning in, by the way, this is just basically us talking.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any.
There's no value in this.
I apologize for that. I apologize for my singing.
What's your favorite Brad Pitt movie?
Oh, okay.
Inglourious Bastards.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's a strong one. There's no, I mean, there's no
seven.
There's no wrong answer here. Just know that
A River Runs Through It.
That's a great one.
Okay, how about some Thanksgiving either ors? Just real quick.
All right.
They're pretty standard. Okay. Stuffing or dressing?
Dressing.
Mashed potatoes or yams?
Mashed potatoes.
Cranberry sauce or gravy?
Oh, this is... I gotta be honest with you guys.
Or neither?
No, gravy. I did... That's... I mean...
You did shout out the cranberry sauce earlier, so...
Well, that... being from Cape Cod, that's like...
Oh,
or it's
yeah.
like cranberry focused. It's like kind of traitorous.
Is it
I'm sure everybody at got less gravy. I don't think that's not a difficult choice. Gravy's great.
But is Thanksgiving up in Cape Cod like really cranberry focused?
Well, because where cranberries come from.
But is it?
No, it's not thing. Like it's like the cranberry festival. No, like we dress up like cranberries or anything like that. It's like midsummer with cranberries. No, there's a lot of cranberries around, and the cranberry is infused in your everyday life in some way or another.
I mean, both sauces play such a crucial role.
It's where that cherry complexion.
You gotta have the acid. That's the role of the cranberry.
I don't know if most cranberry sauces is the acid.
It's that bright tang.
Although I will say, so this Southern Living sweet potato recipe that I was talking about has fresh cranberries in it.
Okay.
So that actually is quite, you know, there's a good amount of acid in it.
Yeah.
You know, so you got garlic, you got the sweet potatoes, you got the acid brightness from the cranberries, and then like a rosemary earthiness.
Adam, can you send us this link and then we'll post it up online?
I could take a screenshot of the page in the cookbook.
Oh, okay. One more. Green beans or Brussels sprouts?
For Thanksgiving specifically?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess... I feel like there's a line for that of when... Because I think nowadays we would all say Brussels sprouts, but when we were kids...
Talking about green beans.
Yeah, nobody was talking about Brussels sprouts. So I would say now Brussels sprouts, but if, when I think of the Thanksgivings, of family Thanksgivings in my past, it's green beans.
Mm-hmm. My one must-have is always the green bean casserole.
Mm.
100%. That would be a thing.
French's onions?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Thank you so much, Adam, for coming back on.
Thank you again for having me.
Surprisingly, we didn't talk about any cats at all.
That's probably for the best.
Yeah, it's probably for the best. Listeners, you can revisit this week's episode or previous episodes on iTunes or wherever you grab your podcasts, including iTunes and Spotify. Have a great Thanksgiving. Get fat. Drink merry. Be grateful. Wear a jumpsuit. It's the only way to fly on Thanksgiving. It's a thing I've learned. Mm-hmm. It's a pro tip.
Yeah. Because you're jumping?
Yeah. No, it just, it's, you just, it's like the perfect lounging gear. It's super comfortable. You look great. It's a fucking jumpsuit. Jumpsuiting.
You look great?
Yeah. Trust me.
In a jumpsuit?
Oh, man. You go out in the streets, you're going to be getting looks you never thought you'd be getting. And it's, they're good looks.
All right.
Don't forget to throw us a review on iTunes or give us that 1 star on Yelp.
A special thank you to Jeffrey Lemereau for our intro music and DJ Rec Tech for hilarious sound effects. Next week, we'll try to keep going and aiming for getting AOC.
We say that every week, but we actually haven't really tried for that one.
We'll spread it out. Okay. I would love to get, you know, the Honorable Elena Kagan on.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But also, like, know that if you're listening and you just bump into AOC, just give her a nudge towards us.
Yeah, just run over to her as quickly as possible and see what happens.
That is all for this week. Until next time, we will see you later.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.